Welcome to another installment of OU Kosher Tidbits. In previous tidbits, we had the privilege of discussing many issues related to the baking industry and baked goods in general. In this particular tidbit, we will, Amir Tzashem, focus our attention upon one particular issue involved in the kosher certification of certain industrial companies, including, but not limited to, the baking industry. If a company produces dairy and pariv, and certainly if it produces non-kosher and kosher on the same equipment using heat, you are surely all aware that according to the halacha, the Jewish law, the equipment absorbs the taste. This is referred to as blia in Hebrew. It absorbs the taste of the product and therefore needs to undergo a precise kosherization procedure in order to purge the equipment and render it either pariv after dairy use or kosher after non-kosher use. The issue that we will now discuss is a situation in which a facility produces either dairy or pariv, or even non-kosher and kosher on the same equipment, which does not involve the use of heat, what is referred to loosely in the industry as cold production. We are dealing with solid foods. If a liquid stays in a tank or other vessel for an extended period of time, the halacha Jewish law might require kosherization even if no heat is involved. That is an issue and topic to be discussed on its own. There are numerous companies in the seasoning industry, health food industry, chemical industry, baking industry, and more that do this type of cold, solid production. Products might be seasonings, vitamin blends, dry mixes, and wet dough mixtures. Equipment includes, for example, blenders, ribbon blenders, mixers, and belts. Because no heat is involved, there is no halachic issue of absorption into the actual equipment, and therefore no koshering, no kosherization would be necessary. The issue is regarding the actual residue that might be left on the equipment. The questions are, is there residue? Is it cleaned? How well is it cleaned? If a very small amount of residue remains, even after the cleaning procedure, is that acceptable? The halacha, the Jewish law, as understood and ruled by our Paskim, based upon the sources from Mishnayos and Shumos and rulings of the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, Kuflamet Ches, is that we adhere to the principle of Kederach HaMechabdim, meaning if a facility has a serious cleanup system or procedure in place, in accord with the industry standard of cleanliness, then it is fully permissible to certify products made upon such equipment, even in the event that a minute amount of residue might still be on the equipment. This includes pariv after dairy and even kosher after non-kosher. The basic reasoning of this halach, in a word, is that any possible minute amount would certainly be bottle nullified many times over in the following product. We cannot and we do not certify any product lichatchila in the first instance based upon bittul nullification because of the halachic principle of ein mevatlin iser lichatchila. However, in this situation in which the company undergoes an industry standard cleanup to clean and remove the residue, there is no intended nullification, and therefore any amount that might possibly remain despite their good effort is certainly bottle nullified. Practically speaking, as in all areas of kosher certification, the theory must be applied on a case-by-case basis. The cleaning method, the seriousness of the plant personnel, the type of equipment, etc., must be analyzed by the field mashgiach in close coordination with the rabbinic coordinator in the office to determine whether it would meet the criteria mentioned above and be acceptable. Even after an acceptable system is developed, it needs to be monitored on a regular basis to make sure that no changes have occurred. No two situations, no two facilities, no two blenders, no two methods of cleanup are the same. Each must be carefully reviewed and ruled upon. We have had experience to show that sometimes simply the material of which the equipment is made affects its ability to be properly cleaned. For example, we had a company that had its blender switched to stainless steel from its previous cast iron ones, which were very hard to properly clean. In addition, we often suggest and institute the use of a written checklist of cleanup instructions to be signed off by respective plant personnel in charge. This is periodically checked by the field mashgiach and the rabbinic coordinator. The mashgiach should on occasion spot check and actually see the cleanup. In addition, often we have companies run a flush of flour or salt after the cleanup. In some situations, we have companies run the first product after the cleanup and label it as the pre-cleanup, either dairy or non-kosher, for example, and only have the following product labeled as either kosher, pariv, or kosher. A factor which has been of tremendous help to us in recent years is the increasing concern and sensitivity of companies to allergen concerns. Companies are much more allergen conscious than they were years ago and have very extensive allergen cleanups and requirements. Dairy happens to be an allergen. There are many more, including soy and nuts. An interesting question arose a number of years ago regarding the milling of special yoshan flour on equipment that had produced chodosh flour. There has been a previous tidbit entitled Yoshan, Are There Gray Areas About Grain Areas, given by Rabbi David Gorelick. Please refer to it for a full discussion of the issue and the laws of Yoshan. In many facilities, certified Yoshan flour is milled and packaged during the summer months before the Chodesh flour comes to the market and is then stored and sold for the Chodesh season. As a result, some flour remains in the package for 6 to 8 months. This led to a great amount of insect infestation in Yoshan flour. Some companies resolve this problem by investing in a costly climate-controlled warehouse preventing infestation. One of the major flour companies in the United States that had Yoshan production did not want to make such an investment. They proposed instead that they would segregate the Yoshan wheat kernels, grind, sieve, and package them throughout the Yoshan season after thoroughly cleaning the equipment. In other words, Yoshan flour would be produced after the equipment producing Chodesh flour was thoroughly cleaned according to the industry standard of cleanliness. As discussed, generally, this is acceptable. However, the halachic issue at the time was that chodosh is in a special halachic category called dovar sheyesh lamatirin, which is not subject to the normal rules of bitul of nullification. The question thus was whether we could rely upon such a system regarding yoshan, since a minute amount of residue might remain. Rav Belsky personally presented this question to Maran Harav Elyashiv Shlita, who ruled that if 5 100-pound batches of product would be flushed through the system, that would be sufficient. The reasoning was that after such an intense flush of product, following the cleanup, at that point it is not clear at all that even a minute amount of Chodesh flour would be mixed into the Yoshan flour. Halachically, this would be less than even a mashu, and the problem of Dover Sheyesh Lamatirin would no longer apply. We practically further required the company to do more, to flush with about 2,500 pounds of flour. We have discussed the halachic issue regarding the cleanliness required in order to certify products made on common equipment. As noted, we maintain a strict standard of cleanliness. We endeavor to ensure that certified equipment is as clean as possible. We certainly need to be most vigilant and careful in maintaining a clean standard in our daily behavior. Our speech, actions, and conduct must be clean and pure. The Pasuk in Bamidbar states, V'yisem nikiyim me'ashem umi Yisrael. Our lives must always be beyond reproach, never chas v'shalom causing chilul Hashem, but rather be lived in a way consciously trying at all times to be mekadesh shem shamayim. Thank you.